Hello, and welcome to Love Letters Live. This will be a time of really discovery, as always is with my guests. And today's guest has a particularly interesting personal story, which I am sure is the same story a lot of people have. And I'm going to go right to Sue Luiso and ask her to talk about herself and her journey and her huge success in taking care of something that needed taking care of. So, Sue, I want to go to you and just ask you, why don't we start out by just saying what your success was?
Well, I am maintaining 170-some pound weight loss for a couple of years now.
Okay, that's just wonderful. I mean, there are whole television shows on that now.
Yes.
To motivate people. It's a wonderful thing. Just start as early as you care to and talk about how you were raised and what family life was like and why you think that you started to gain weight so uncontrollably.
Okay. I was raised in a small town in Indiana with one older sister, and my parents were workaholics. My mother had a beauty shop in our house, and my father had a few jobs when I was little, but when I was in the third grade as the crowning moment, he bought a candy store.
Oh, my.
Hand-dipped chocolates.
I don't mean to laugh. No. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
A full soda fountain with 7 flavors of ice cream. And they didn't like to pay for babysitters, so they often, mother would work in the beauty shop all day and then go in the evening to help him in the store, mm-hmm. and they would take me along. Mm-hmm. And the only criteria for being good was being quiet.
Mm.
And I could be so quiet when I was stuffing my mouth full of candy.
Oh, my goodness.
And I hate to give away my age, but sometimes they would send me around the corner to the movie, and rather than waste a whole dime on a box of popcorn, I would just take along a pound of malted milk balls
or a
pound of Hershey's chocolate.
So this wasn't a matter of, you know, eating out of misery. This was a matter of, because so often that is the truth for people, you know, just to stifle sadnesses. But your story here is really unusual in that it was kind of a positive that went unchecked.
Yes. Yes. Now, it did. Later on, I think there were some things that kept it going. I mean, I left home at the age of 18, and I...
When did you start to gain enough weight that you knew it was trouble?
Oh, by the fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
I had... Mom had to get me Chubette clothes, they were called.
And how were you? How were you seen by the other children in your class?
They called me fatty, 2x4.
Oh.
But I mean, it's interesting when I look back at the pictures. I was not obese.
Mm-hmm.
I was certainly chubby,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't what we see so often nowadays. Children who are really obese, and I was not like that as a child.
Mm-hmm.
But and through high school, I was very active. I was. I water skied. I was on the gymnastics team. I had a trampoline act mm-hmm. that went from school to
And this
school.
Was all with you over the weight that you should be?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I stayed. I'm only 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
And so I should weigh around 120 pounds. And in high school, I weighed between 160 and 180.
Okay.
All
so that's,
high school.
That's
so
big,
again,
but that's
it's not
right.
huge.
And were you popular? Did you have friends?
I had lots of friends. I was president of White Teens, but I didn't date very much. The boys all wanted me to be their sister and to come to me with the problems they were having with their girlfriends who were usually friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't a lot of dating.
Did you miss that or did?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think what happened is I developed then a low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that fed the eating problem. And I feel bad. In the back of my mind, I think I had decided that no one would ever marry me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set out to make myself someone that someone would want to marry. And
Wait, that someone would or wouldn't?
Would. Yes.
Okay.
In order to find a husband. I thought that would be the only way.
Uh-huh.
And so I found the perfect specimen in college. I found an absent-minded professor. I mean, he was a student. He was right. He was a junior my freshman year.
Yeah.
But he had the absent-minded professor mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So I just moved into his life and helped him remember where he parked the car.
Oh, wait,
car
so you started out as a buddy, as a friend.
Yes.
As a sister. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then
I like those stories.
One thing led to another.
Okay, so can we talk about the one thing led to another without being specific enough to make you blush? In other words, when did you realize, or he realized, or somebody realized that it was a romance? What turned the page on that? I always like to know that.
Yeah, well, first semester we were just friends, and when I came back from Christmas vacation, my hair had been long for a semester, and I had it cut quite short second mm-hmm. semester.
You must have been awfully cute looking, though. You're cute looking now.
Well, I was cute enough,
yes,
I think,
okay.
But when I walked into the snack bar the first time he saw me, he looked up and across the room he yelled, "Hey, Sue, I like your hiney."
Oh, and how lovely.
He was from northern Minnesota, and that's what they called the short haircut.
Oh, pardon me.
But I blushed,
yes.
I mean, because I didn't know that. And then everyone around, all of our friends were going, "What? What are you talking about?"
They weren't
about?
Just cracking
yeah.
up. Oh,
no.
God,
so
is that cute?
Anyway, so then he was embarrassed because he meant my haircut.
Yes, I understand. How funny.
But that kind of drew us closer
but
together.
But yes, I would
too,
think that's kind of a nice introduction
yeah.
to concentrating on your actual
yeah.
hiney.
Right.
Great.
And so we started dating. And we got married and had two beautiful daughters.
Aww.
And the reason I feel bad, I feel like I led him astray. I led him to believe that I was going to take care of him the rest of his life.
In but what way?
In as far as all of his absent-minded professor.
You mean because
things,
that's how you started
yes,
off?
Yes.
But I think that's sometimes a fair thing that people take care of each other.
Well,
and,
it is if I had yeah. been willing to continue.
Right. Was it burdensome? Was it
yes.
more than you could?
By the time the kids were born, and then it felt like I had three children and no one to help me. And that's what became a burden. So,
yeah.
We parted friends, though. I have to say we have the friendliest divorce I've ever seen anywhere.
I've got chills. That is so
we're
nice.
We're still friends. We had watched my older sister go through a messy divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we weren't anywhere near thinking about it at the time, we said to each other, if we ever do get divorced, let's not do it that way.
You know, listening to you, I mean, I'm just sitting here smiling. I imagine you make a lot of people smile, but just with your very, the way you are. But so you're daughters, your two daughters,
mm-hmm.
still had a father in
yes.
their life,
mm-hmm. yes.
and you were friendly with him,
yes.
and you didn't have to take care of his every little hangnail.
That's right. That's
so
right.
It seems to me that you have had kind of a charmed life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you were president of this, you had friends, you were a gymnast, you were an athlete, you were... So what...
Well, and uh-huh. the weight went up and down. I used to keep a graph that just, you know, mountains and valleys and mountains and valleys,
mm-hmm.
and... The first time I went over 200 pounds, I panicked and thought it was the end of the world.
So
and
you did, I mean, nobody was saying to you, you have to...
No, it was all me.
And I, just out of curiosity, what was your parents' attitude about your being 160 pounds in the fifth grade as a petite
well,
little...
Well, no, I wasn't 160 in the fifth grade.
Oh,
I,
as a teenager,
as a
I'm
teenager.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But you said you
but,
started
yeah,
to get...
Did they did. I can remember them telling me, "Oh, Sue, you better stop eating so much candy. You're getting fat."
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember saying, "When I get to 100 pounds, I'll stop."
Okay, so you had a goal
of
how long
I
you could allow yourself that candy.
Yeah.
I don't know why everyone who works at Sees doesn't have a problem.
I wondered about that, too.
I would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? At what point did your life take the turn where you said, "I have to do something," and then I want to know what you did?
Okay. Well, I, as I say, it was up and down and up and down, and as is often the case, I would gain more than I had lost each time, so the mountains
uh-huh.
kept getting higher,
uh-huh.
and before I knew it, I was up to 300 pounds,
oh my.
And at that time, I stayed in the vicinity of 300 pounds all through the 1990s, and I was dealing with some repressed memories at that time,
oh.
and it was hard, but, uh-huh. and it was 1997 that I hit my all-time high, which was 345 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I met Darren Main.
Oh, now, wait a minute. So when you hit your all-time high, you were already separated from your husband.
Oh, yeah. Well,
now,
divorced. We
yes.
divorced in 73.
So what was your work? What were you doing during your days?
I was mostly secretarial work. Mm-hmm. I worked at Illinois Bell, and then I got promoted into management, and that's how I got transferred to California. So they paid for my move out here.
Okay, so wonderful. You never had a problem being employed or finding jobs or taking good care of yourself.
That's always
okay,
been
okay. So
been
when
easy.
You decided that you had to do something, what mm-hmm. was the first thing you did?
Oh.
In other words, what should people do?
Well, back then, I've been on every diet there is, and the thing that I've learned from that is that diets don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And
what,
the reason,
what does
well, they work temporarily, but the reason they don't work is because a diet is something that we go off of after we've lost the weight, and that's when we gain the weight back.
So you have to do what? Think of a new way to live your life?
Until we can come up with a new eating plan.
How did you do that?
And again, it's come in baby steps. When I met Darren, he took me to Rainbow, which is our health food store.
May I ask how you met?
We met at...
He is one of my favorite people.
Yeah, he's certainly very special to me, too. We first met when he was helping a yoga teacher do some photography, and I was actually trying to do yoga at 300-plus pounds because I thought it would be good for me. I couldn't do much other exercise. Mm-hmm. And he asked if I would like to take some private yoga lessons, and he could show me how to modify the poses, and then I could come to class.
So you could be successful at it. Uh-huh.
And then he asked if I would like him to help me lose weight, and I said, oh, yes. And he said, well...
Now, did he do that because he's a healer and wants people to be at their best? Did he just offer that, seeing that that was something you needed?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But there were conditions. I had to meditate every day, at least 20 minutes, and I had to, what were the other things? There were two or three things that I had to promise him.
Mm-hmm. Having to do with eating or?
No, in the beginning it was just the behavioral, the meditation. Mm-hmm. And then, as I started to say, he took me to Rainbow, which is San Francisco's health food store, and he taught me how to buy vegetables, which, because we ate at the candy store. The candy store had hamburgers and tuna salad and ham salad and grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. And we ate there 6 days a week.
Yes.
And we, even on Sundays when Mom would cook at home, I'm sure she cooked vegetables. Well, one of the things she did was use a lot of canned vegetables because they were both raised on a farm and they had moved into the city. They wanted to be modern. And back then, no one knew that canned vegetables had been stripped of most of their nutrients. They thought they were the good thing to do, the modern thing.
So that was your start of having a new relationship with food.
With food, right.
But you didn't do anything like go to a group or a support group like...
Well, I had certainly been back and forth. The Overeaters Anonymous was very helpful. Was very helpful for me many different times. But to be successful in Overeaters Anonymous, you need a good sponsor. Mm-hmm. And back in Illinois, when I first joined, I had a really good sponsor and she moved out of the area. I moved to California and I had several different sponsors in California, but none where we clicked.
Okay. So that was my next question. What makes a good sponsor?
It's hard to describe. It's just a special, the communication has to be there.
Now, is a sponsor somebody you would call when you feel like you're going to start to do the wrong thing or?
Well, in the beginning, especially, you call your sponsor every day, every morning, and tell them what you're going to eat that day.
Oh, how interesting.
And then if you decide during the day to have something different than what you told your sponsor that morning, then you call to say, I'm changing the grapes to a banana.
So that's really interesting. It seems like that the benefit of that is that it keeps you aware all the time.
Yes.
You don't have moments of just unconscious cramming.
Right.
Oh.
But having Darren teach me about vegetables was humongous because I had never eaten, I had eaten canned green beans and canned spinach and corn on the cob. I didn't even know you could cook cauliflower because we only had it raw. The only salad we had was iceberg lettuce. trying to think. I didn't discover asparagus until I was 18. I didn't discover broccoli until I was 19.
Well, those things aren't unusual for people who aren't raised around where they were. Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
okay.
But that you got a hold of yourself and were able to do what you did is so admirable. Your doctors must have been thrilled with
you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and like I said, though, the peaks and valleys.
Right.
So Darren got me started, and the meditation helped.
So how long have you been how you are now?
I said a couple of years, and it's really been more like five. But what happened in, he got me below 200 or below 300, mm-hmm. and I stayed around 280 for a while, and then it started creeping back up again in spite of all his good help. And I do believe in the universe or fate or whatever we call it. When I realized I was over 300 again and was just so depressed. Something landed in my lap, and it was it's Dr. Joan Saxton's weight management program, and it's a fasting program.
Mm-hmm.
It's a high protein fast, and I did that. This was in 2001. I did that for a year and lost 133 pounds.
Oh my goodness!
And I was able to keep off more than 100 pounds for more than 3 years or more than 4 years. But I was still 100 pounds overweight.
Okay.
So I was, and I was struggling. It was hard to keep off that 100 pounds. And that's when I was introduced to bariatric surgery.
Oh.
And I do, this is something really important that I want to put out for everyone. Not all bariatric surgery is a bypass. And I did not have a bypass.
What did you have?
I had what is called a vertical gastrectomy. They removed most of my stomach. But it's important to me. I mean, bypasses are fine for the people who need them. But it's important to me that people understand the difference and know that not all people who had bariatric surgery had bypasses. I have a normally functioning stomach.
Oh, that's
it's
what I was
just
gonna
very
ask.
Small.
Oh, okay.
Right, right.
So it's not like you are given the short side of digestion
right,
or anything.
Right,
okay,
no,
good.
No.
So this is just astounding. This is a wonderful story. And just because we're about love letters and gratitude, if I ask you right now who will get your love letter, who will that be?
I've been fortunate enough to experience unconditional love from two different people in this life. And I think that is just a tremendous... One was my mother, who is gone now. One is my older daughter. And we have the most tremendous communication.
So you have two love letters to write.
Well, but I think Darren deserves one too. So I
then
really have
three.
I have three love letters to write, yes. And now I'm starting to get closer to my grandchildren.
So you have Darren and your mother, and your older daughter, and now two granddaughters.
Yes.
So I think always that love letters is not a one-shot deal. Writing love letters is really a way of life. That when you have a positive thought, or a memory, or gratitude, or passion, or anything at all, why not put it on paper and stamp it and mail it and make somebody else's life better?
Yes.
So you must have different things you want to say to these people.
Oh, yes.
And what would, let's just talk about a couple of them, and then I hope you'll go away from here and do your homework.
Okay.
Because there is something about getting a letter in the mail. Do you ever get any more handwritten envelopes of...
Occasionally, but not too often.
And what is that, when you see that, what do you feel like when you see your...
It is, it's exciting.
Isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
And I'm curious, do you open it first, or do you save it for last after you...
No, I open it first.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. People do different things. Sometimes people put it aside, just wait till all the garbage is out of the way, and then. So, what would you say to Darren, for example? Let's say one main thing that you say to each person.
Okay. To Darren, I would want him to know how important he was in the beginning parts of my losing weight.
Yeah.
His attention and teaching and everything he taught me just really got me started on the right path.
And this is evidently a friendship forever, because we're sitting in here in his house doing this. Yes. So I think that's a really nice thing to say, kind of a promise for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And what about to your mother? She's no longer here.
Yeah, she's, I miss her to this day. And she passed away in 1986, and I still think about her.
Now, you know what? That right there, those two sentences that you just said, oh, I miss her to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, dear mom, I miss you to this day.
Yes, definitely.
And then just start right in. But where will you mail it? Because I think a love letter needs to be mailed.
Oh, I don't know. How would I do that?
Good question.
She was cremated, so, and I have her ashes. I could just lay it up against her ashes.
You could. You know what? You could. That's lovely. I've never heard anybody say that, but somebody should still get it in the mail. What if you wrote it to her, but mailed it to your daughters?
Ah, yes.
You'd have to make two copies, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it should really be your own handwriting.
Yes.
Because
yes.
That's gold.
Mm-hmm.
But how lovely to keep one so what if you mail it to her? With your address, you put a stamp on it, and you go to the mailbox and stick it in. And when it comes, maybe you don't ever open it because it's hers.
Oh,
and you just
yes.
lean it up against.
Yes.
And then
that's
let your
excellent.
Grandchildren decide what to do with it.
That
maybe it'll get
excellent.
Passed down for generations unopened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But someday somebody will open that, and they'll know something
yes.
about the great love, not only that you had for your mother, but they'll know a lot, your grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Yes.
Will know something about how capable of deep love you are.
Mm-hmm.
And what better pedigree is there to come from than a family of love?
And speaking of great-grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be a great-grandma squared.
Wow.
This year. I have one due any day now, and the other one is due in December.
Gosh,
so,
that's wonderful. Okay, so you've got a lot. You know, there's something lovely, by the way, of writing love letters to the unborn.
Oh.
And that mother and father don't get to open that till that child's maybe 10 or 12 or whatever you say.
Oh, that would be a wonderful
unopened
idea.
In the treasure box.
Yes.
I mean, you can leave a trail of such love.
Yes. Oh, I like that idea.
And long after you're gone, you know, I like to say we still have what? Things signed by Abraham
mm-hmm.
Lincoln and John
mm-hmm.
Hancock and Marie Antoinette. And
mm-hmm.
the letters last forever.
And they know they're going to be girls, and one of them has chosen a name, and the other one is between two names. So
that'll make addressing the envelope
yes,
cute,
yes.
because you can even say, dear, or we
uh-huh.
don't know yet. There's so many adorable things you can do. So you can write one to your mother,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, what I know that whatever is in your heart is so strong.
Yeah.
But I like love letters that are filled with specifics.
Okay.
You know how you say, I miss you to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And what about I remember?
Oh, yes.
I remember what you looked like in that yellow dress. I remember mm-hmm. the meals you used to cook on Sunday, parentheses,
mm-hmm.
that I had no business eating so much of. But they were delicious. Whatever it is
yes.
you want to. And you're a person so, well, with such joy, I can see. But so without any kind of blame
yeah.
or. You know, I think a love letter to an ex-husband is sometimes really nice, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I could easily do that. We're very good friends, and I'm friends with his wife. And when he started dating his wife, I was so relieved.
Oh, yes.
Because he had someone to take care of, and
so
I didn't have to feel guilty for leaving him.
So what, a love letter to her.
Yes.
And one to
yes.
him, and, you know, thank you for these children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And great. I mean, there's so much gratitude just mm-hmm. floating all around
yes.
you, and I can feel that you feel it. Coming
yeah.
right through the air.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you for doing this with me. This has been
well,
so much
been
fun.
It's been very, very enjoyable for me, too.
And
thank
so
you.
So interesting. You know, successful at what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be just, you look like you're joyful every step of the way.
I am.
So nice. Thank you, dear. Well, I just want to say once again to all of the listeners here that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And sometimes just taking 20 minutes a week and dropping someone a note, you will leave a trail of such love and such memory and also historically important things. You know, just the history of when you were raised in that candy store and what life
yes.
was like. And you probably didn't have a TV to go run to.
Right, right.
So, you know, historically those things are interesting. Well, thank you very much, dear. I appreciate this
well,
a
thank
lot.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye for now.